O God, who through your Spirit raised up St. Teresa of Jesus to show the Church the way to seek perfection, grant that we may always be nourished by the food of her heavenly teaching and set on fire with longing for true holiness. When the Church proclaimed St. Teresa of Jesus, whom we celebrate today, St. Teresa of Avila, Doctor of the Church, it was also with the intention, we could say, one of the primary intentions was to give us this doctor as a teacher of prayer, as a teacher of perfection, and as a teacher of Christian prayer. In fact, when Pope St. John Paul II was in Avila in 1982, it was the 400th anniversary of her death, he said in one of his homilies, "Every form of prayer is valid, inasmuch as it is inspired by Christ and leads to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life." Clear enough, every form of Christian prayer has to be inspired by Christ and lead to Christ. But the question today remains, and we'll look at this question just very briefly, especially for many Christians who have never had or hardly ever had any experience of the beauty of the Christian school of prayer, who have maybe grown up in places where prayer has been abandoned, even in maybe in their churches and parishes. But these Christians spiritually starved, the question remains, and it was formulated in 1989 by the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith in a letter published on the Feast of St. Teresa. The ever more frequent contact, and this is the question that remains, the ever more frequent contact with other religions and with their different styles and methods of prayer has in recent decades led many of the faithful to ask themselves what value non-Christian forms of meditation might have for Christians. Above all, the question concerns Eastern methods. So there's more contact with Eastern religions, and there is also more spiritual hunger in the West, where the spiritual life has been neglected or abandoned in many places, unfortunately, even in many churches. And the CDF, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, this Vatican congregation, points out especially yoga, Zen, transcendental meditation, and its offspring centering prayer as the chief dangers. So even if only briefly we'll look at these dangers today, it might happen that in your parishes, some prayer group that proposes yoga, Zen, transcendental meditation, or centering prayer will pop up. And you'll have to know what approach to take to these prayer groups. You might know somebody that practices this form of prayer. So it's good to know, to be on our guards and to be able to help others who fall into these dangers. So the CDF says, "Christian prayer is always determined by the structure of the Christian faith, in which the very truth of God and creatures shines forth." Simple enough. Well, if we look at Eastern forms of prayer, evidently do not arise from Catholic faith, nor can they have its structure. Therefore, they can be theologically excluded from the very beginning. Yoga, Zen, transcendental meditation, and centering prayer done in the structure of Eastern religions have to be excluded right away. At most, they are useful as preparatory exercises to perhaps, clear the mind and relax the body. We live in a stressful society. But even that, Christian authors know that. St. Teresa knew that. All the other Christian masters of the spiritual life knew that very well. And they propose other methods practiced and taught from the beginning of the Church. They propose other methods just as good, if not better, and without any strings, without any dangers attached to them, to clear the mind and relax the body. Kneeling, getting rid of the focusing, for example, looking at a sacred image, repeating slowly Christian prayers, etc., etc. These methods exist. These Christian methods exist as well. So there's really no need, to go to the Far East to look for them. The CDF goes on, and this is one of the dangers too. It relaxes me. Well, it might, but some physical exercises automatically produce a feeling of quiet and relaxation, pleasing sensations, perhaps even phenomena of light and of warmth, which resemble spiritual well-being. To take such feelings for the authentic consolations of the Holy Spirit would be a totally erroneous way of conceiving the spiritual life, giving them a symbolic significance typical of the mystical experience. This is what attracts many people to Eastern forms of meditation, you know? It gives you almost an instant gratification, a feeling of spiritual well-being that you might confuse with the Holy Spirit acting in you. Now just sit down, assume a certain posture, breathe in a certain way, clear your mind of any thoughts, you feel well, wow, the Holy Spirit's acting in me, I must be a saint. And that's a danger. It's a danger of wasting our time in prayer instead of focusing on God, focusing on ourselves, confusing our own well-being with the action of the Holy Spirit in us. And the congregation puts us on our guards also, because such a confusion might lead us to think that, you know, that there's no need to morally reform our lives. You know, every time I pray, I feel so well. God must be happy with me. There's no need to change my life. And there can be a dichotomy between our own sinful way of life and the way we pray, quote-unquote, pray, the meditation we practice. If you look at transcendental meditations, for example, a lot of people that endorse transcendental meditation, you know, famous actors and other famous people in the world, figures of the world. On the one hand, they might practice every one of the sins that St. Paul enumerates in the first reading, and on the other, claim to be spiritual persons who pray every day, who meditate every single day. There can be a dangerous dichotomy between the way we quote-unquote pray and the way we live if our prayer is not Christian prayer, if it doesn't lead us to love God. And if we consider these Eastern forms of prayer practiced by millions of people for thousands of years now, well, if it was an authentic, God-centered prayer, wouldn't they arrive at the one true God by now? Where will this prayer lead me? And if we ask ourselves also, you know, why is it that certain forms of the occult, you know, when they try to come in contact with, you know, wandering souls, various spirits, etc., why do they use the same methods, you know, the same methods as the transcendental meditation, yoga, Zen, and centering prayer? All these questions, you know, should raise red flags in our minds and tell us, well, it's best to simply pray like a Christian should pray, like the saints have prayed, like Saint Teresa teaches us to pray. Another document, and we'll conclude with this one, another document in 2003 of the Vatican stated, some local New Age groups refer to their meetings as prayer groups. These, under a Catholic name, you'll find even in parishes, even run by religious and by priests sometimes. Unfortunately, you'll find this happening. Such groups take advantage of a person's lack of theological or spiritual formation, and also his spiritual starvation, we could say, to lure them gradually into what may in fact be a form of false worship. Christians must be taught about the true object and content of prayer in the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ to the Father. These elements have to be explicit in our Christian prayer, at least when we make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In order to judge rightly the intention of a prayer group, many people are convinced that there is no harm in borrowing from the wisdom of the East. But the example of transcendental meditation, for example, should make Christians cautious about the prospect of committing themselves unknowingly to another religion. The prospect of committing themselves unknowingly to another religion, in this case Hinduism, despite what transcendental meditation's promoters claim about its religious neutrality. There's no problem with learning how to meditate, but the object or content of the exercise clearly determines whether it relates to God revealed by Jesus Christ, to some other revelation, to some false religion, or simply to the hidden depths of the self. In the best hypothesis, you know, with centering prayer and transcendental meditation, we're wasting our time, you know, simply going down into the depths of our own hidden self, and we discover nothing but our misery, and we mistake it for the Holy Spirit to boot. In the worst hypothesis, well, we'll come in contact with the world, you know, the spiritual world, but we'll come in contact with either false gods, bad spirits, or unknowingly will embrace another religion. And usually it's people that are most spiritually starved and theologically ill-formed that fall into these dangers because they don't know their own faith, and anything spiritual they take to be, you know, good, they take to be Catholic. The love of God, the sole object of Christian contemplation, is a reality which cannot be mastered by any method or technique, the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith teaches us. The love of God, the sole object of Christian prayer and contemplation, in reality, is a reality which cannot be mastered by any method or technique. You know, you can't, there's no breathing method to make you acquire the love of God. There's no posture you can assume to make you love God and to arrive at contemplation. It is acquired through humility, through a trustful, you know, entreaty, through a perseverant, through a persevering practice of virtue. Things that don't come instantly, you have to practice them all your life, at your own expense, at the cost of self-mortification, abnegation. Prayer, like Christian life itself, does not consist in thinking much, but in loving much, St. Teresa says. Not in thinking much, not in evacuating your mind even of thoughts, not in focusing on yourself looking at a candle, but not in thinking much, but in loving much. And all souls are capable of this love. All souls are capable of loving, even if they can't master any breathing technique or any posture, or they can't find an Indian guru to teach them how to pray. So let's pray to St. Teresa of Avila, and she might become our teacher of Christian prayer, which must always be in the Holy Spirit, through our Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father. As St. Teresa says, we must always have the life and the humanity of our Lord before our eyes. We must contemplate on his becoming man, on his love for us, on his passion and death for us. Filled with that contemplation, with that meditation of his love for us, we won't be able to do anything else but to love him back. When our intelligences are filled with the examples of our Lord who became man for us, our wills will become slowly, if we persevere, more and more inflamed with love for our Lord Jesus Christ, who became man and died for us. So may our prayer always lead us through our Lord to God the Father in the Holy Spirit, as St. Teresa of Jesus has taught us. Praised be Jesus and Mary.